Thank you, Shelley and Janet, very much. That's mother and daughter singing together. Ooh, that's really good. They must have started that when Shelley was real little. Listen to God's Word from Luke chapter 2. So many good things about Jesus in the Bible. In fact, Jesus said the whole Bible was about Him. That's pretty big claim, you know. A lot of times we read it and say, oh, we're so glad it teaches us right from wrong, truth from lies, how to live, but mostly points us to who God is. And so it's a powerful truth that can help us know the Lord, and He introduces Himself to us in His Word. So this is one picture of the birth of Jesus. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in that same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to men." Amen. A couple of weeks ago we had a privilege of having two foreign exchange students in worship with a family, and they came a long ways. They were attending school, I think, at IUP, but one was from mainland China, that would be communist China, and the other gal, her friend, was from Taiwan. And I wondered if they were friends, because those two countries kind of been going at it for a long time, and they were, but they hadn't been in the worship time, I don't think, very often, and so everything was new. I think it was the Sunday that the choir sang, and they were very impacted by that. You know, but everything, I'm sure they thought, what's all the volume for? What's all the joy about? And the same could be said about Christmas Eve, you know. What's all the fuss? You know, why gather so many? And what child is this who laid to rest? A lot of Christmas songs ask the question, what was happening that everything should be changed? Another song says, "Why lies he in such mean estate?" We sang that where usually oxen and donkeys get fed. And here's this little baby. Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strain prolong? So there's something beyond amazing here, something that was going to change history, and not just the history of the world, but was meant to change your personal history and mine. I don't know if you think your life needs a personal history change. Okay, Christ is all about that. And one Christmas song asks questions about Jesus' life. It goes like this: "Who is he who deep in distress, fasted in the wilderness," that, when Jesus did that to seek God. "Who is he in Calvary's woes, asking pardon for his foes?" Remember Jesus dying on the cross, saying, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." What kind of man would pray that? Who, you know, something beyond human ability. "Who is he that from the grave came to heal and help and save?" Rose from the dead? Is that what we really do believe? God really says that in the Bible. And so we gather. Certainly we wouldn't gather for a carpenter, 30-year-old carpenter from first century. You know, it'd be ridiculous to gather just to honor him, don't you think? Would have to be crazy. Unless it was true that he was who he says he was. Okay, and then our hearts have a chance to be changed. There's something great starting here. Jesus said he would give his life a ransom for many. He had a mission. He would come and seek and save people like you and I. A follower named John said about Jesus, he would die for the sin of the whole world. And even the angel, when they talked to Joseph, he said, oh, he's going to save his people from his sins. And history said about Jesus that he rose from the dead. Okay, concrete, people who saw him and wondered what happened. But how did more people in Jesus' day respond to him? You know, did they make as big as a fuss as we are making tonight? I think we'll find so. These are firsthand eyewitnesses. Shepherds hurried to see the baby Jesus. They spread the word concerning him. That was a big risk because everybody thought shepherds weren't too reliable. They said, I don't care what people think about my credibility. I'm going to tell what I know. Christ has been born. Wise men searched for Jesus. When they found him, they bowed down and worshiped him. That's pretty incredible. And to worship God gives you a strong, wise heart. Something that we can learn from the wise men, how they pursued Christ. A fisherman named John said this about Jesus. Pretty tough guy. He's called Son of Thunder. He said, the true light that gives light to everybody was coming into the world. That's one way he described the impact of Jesus on his life. Another fisherman named Peter said, Christ will give you joy unspeakable and full of glory. So something about Jesus just gives you something in your soul you never had before. A scholar named Paul said, Christ was before all things, and Christ has first place in everything. So he really went out on a limb. And he said, this is how Jesus can change anybody's life. And a wild man named John the Baptist, who everybody thought was half crazy, and maybe he was, but the sane part of him said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, when he saw Jesus. You know, sometimes when people are on the edges of society, they can see things that other people can't see. John saw that in Jesus, his forgiving ability. No wonder the angel said to the shepherds, I bring you good news of great joy. Host of angels said in unison. A host of angels, you might say, the angels sang with great enthusiasm, or at least pronounced it. I don't know if years ago I kind of liked this, I think it was advertised around Christmas time, years and years ago, sports events that were captured on tape. And I can't even remember whether it was a DVD or an album. Some of you don't know what an album is. But there was captured all these good sports events, and the title of the gift is, and the crowd goes wild. Some of you might have that. Anybody have that? Okay. But anyway, the angels, that's what they did. Okay, when they knew that Christ was going to come to save humanity. So there was a lot of eyewitnesses. Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men. One more voice to mention before Jesus was born. A very respected, credible leader named Isaiah said this child would be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the government would be on his shoulders. Wow. There's a lot of things on your shoulders tonight, and certainly on the people's shoulders around the world. Heavy things. And you carry that around. Your plate is full. Okay, you have work responsibilities, if you even have a chance to work nowadays. You have that. You have family and food plans. Some to eke out just a simple meal, and some to celebrate a lot. That takes time. It takes work and gathering. Most people have conflicts quite unresolved. You may have financial headaches. Heavy on your shoulders. Illnesses. We have dear people who normally, they're here all the time in church. One is home. just about a day or two from going to be with Christ. Another one's in the hospital on a respirator, kind of in a coma state, doesn't know what's going on. Illnesses, they happen to us. Regrets and guilt, we have that heavy on our shoulders. Why did I do that bad thing? Why did I fail to do that good thing? Without the Bible says without Christ, there's no way to get rid of that guilt. That's a real thing. It's a real heavy weight. Plus, painful losses you might have gone through, remembering loved ones who were here but now are with Christ. And then in a couple days away from 2015, which is 1 year closer, this is sobering, but part of why Jesus came, 1 year closer to your very real death. And you have a battle to fight. You have an appointment with that, and you're not getting out of that appointment. So you better be ready for that, because it's coming, and it's inevitable. And Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise from the dead because it was just like a little thing to ignore and hopefully die in your sleep or something like that. But Jesus said he wants to govern all that, govern all the things that are on your shoulders. Let the government be on his shoulders. Do you think he can do it? Do you think Jesus can govern what is troubling you? People keep singing, this is Christ the King, whose shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him honor. And do you think the Lord is worth following? Like the wise men did, shepherds did, fisherman John, fisherman Peter, scholar Paul, Isaiah beforehand. Do you think he's worth your ultimate loyalty? Now here's a man who was a military guy who thought Jesus was worth his ultimate loyalty. Happened to him late in life, apparently. And I don't know much about him, but I know enough about him to know a bit of his testimony. Napoleon, who was all of 5'7", and the emperor of almost all of Europe at that time, from France, conquered Germany, what we know as Germany, Spain, Italy, part of Russia. So 5'7", if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, that's Dre Archer. If Dre Archer was the toughest guy on the team, he hardly gets in now. 5'7", he's the captain, and he's the coach. You say, that would be... That's something. Well, that's Napoleon. At the end of his life, he's exiled to an island. He writes this about Jesus. He says, I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is not just a man. Superficial minds compare him to the leaders of other religions and nations. That resemblance does not exist. The distance between Jesus and men is infinite. He had to come and reach out to us, Alexander the Great, Caesar, and myself. Napoleon wasn't very humble, have founded great empires based on force. Jesus founded his empire based on truth. Jesus makes a demand beyond what others would ask, more than a father would ask his child, more than a man would ask his brother. Christ asked you for your heart and soul. He created that for himself. All who sincerely believe in him, this is wonderful, experience a remarkable supernatural love for God. Humanly speaking, it is unexplainable. Just that God would just get your heart and you start to trust and follow Christ. The message of Jesus is beyond all man's creative power, he goes on to say. Time, the great destroyer of everything, is powerless to extinguish this sacred flame. His message just continues to gain souls. This proves to me that Jesus Christ is God. So that's a general who knows power, general who knows people and what makes people tick, the general who knows strength, knows life and death. He said, Jesus Christ is worth all loyalty of my heart and soul. And I imagine in his last days he followed Christ. And I know this this evening, which is 100% true, Christ calls you to give your life, your passion, your intellect, your relationships, your troubles to him. And you say, Jesus, I put this on your shoulders. I put my present and my future on your shoulders. I put my past, be it fantastic or screwed up, on your shoulders also. And I name you my Lord and Savior, and I follow you with your help. You know, Jesus points you to himself tonight. And he's the risen King of Kings. He has no rivals. It's a privilege that he would call you. He says, come to me if you're tired and weary. He says, come to me if you're hungry and thirsty. He said this about himself. He said things about himself even his followers wouldn't say. He said, I'm the truth. I'm the life. I'm the light of the world. And as a pastor, I get to help a lot of people in pain. The heaviest pain I see is not, and it's a very difficult one. There's physical pain there, for sure. But even more rough than physical pain is pain in a person's soul because of loss of maybe a loved one or feeling apart from God or having sin just wipe them out in life, their own sin. That's really pain. That's very bad pain. And Christ would come to save you from that. Would you come to trust him? Take his forgiveness. Take his goodness. And the biggest losses I've seen have been people who reject Christ or treat him lightly. And by contrast, the greatest joy I've seen in people's hearts is by people who say, I'm going to trust Christ the best I know how. They don't have angel wings or a halo, but they know who the Savior is, and they're going to follow him all the way to heaven. Jesus wants that to be you this evening. Let every heart prepare him room. He rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glories of his righteousness and wonders of his love. And as we close, I wanted to close with you a simple prayer in the Bible. Jesus said, told the story, a man prayed this prayer as a way to get right with God, head home at peace with God. And I think that your big call on a night like this, in a world where people are very suspicious of allegiances and loyalties, where are you going to park your heart? Certainly God created you to be loyal beyond somebody other than yourself. I mean, we can get a four-year-old to do that. But he created you to be loyal to him and trust him. And so would you do that? And would you follow Christ? Say, thank you, Jesus. We celebrate your birth and being born in me today. Would you pray sincerely to God, please? Lord, I remember this man in the Bible, and dear people here, as this man, he prayed in a worship setting. Apparently, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He cried out for help, and he looked to you. So might people do that tonight? Might they say, Jesus, I receive you as Lord. You're the one for me, and I receive you as Savior because I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, I know from past my own experiences, Christmas and Christmas Eve is an emotional time. For some, it's just something to get through because life's too painful. For others, it brings up things that are very hard or very joyful. I ask that you would be the number one joy that each heart is looking to tonight. The Savior and Lord of every person here in the room. You could do this, Lord. And why would they want anything else other than to say Jesus Christ is Lord? Might you be that for each one here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.